Lord, we give you our time this morning that you might touch us, empower us, heal us, encourage us. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come in power, that you would order my words, and that your anointing would flow in this place, that lives would be changed. Lord, you did that in a prayer meeting all those years ago for me. I'm asking that you do it for many of these people. Take them to a new level. Ignite their hearts on fire. I come against any fear, doubt, confusion, and unbelief, and I speak faith into the people of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. I seem to be really high and echoey, but they'll get that fixed because my voice is really like James Earl Jones, so Morgan Freeman, etc. apparently you know Morgan Freeman more than you know James Earl Jones. It's okay. I almost hesitate to say this, but I will, particularly for those who might be in the back who really would like to be up front. You know, there's a couple of chairs up front, but here's the deal. When I first met Randy Clark, who, if you don't know, he's the guy that God used to start the outpouring in Toronto that's gone all over the world in 1994. I met him in 98, and I became his driver. I'd not met him. I knew his story, but I became his driver. And as I was in the car driving him an hour away to a meeting, I had to reach into the glove compartment, as you say. We say glove box, but the glove compartment. Not because I needed anything, but because when I leaned over to reach the glove box, I had to rub up against him. And I did. I figure I've got him in my car. You know, something's bound to rub off. So there is an anointed man right here, an anointed woman right there, an anointed woman right there. And if you, yeah, okay. Lord, I bless the bold. Yeah. Still a couple of chairs. I don't know if I left anything, but there might be an anointing where I was sitting. I don't know. So I'm just saying. Okay. I want to continue teaching. First of all, how many of you were not here last night? Okay. It's a bunch of you. Let me catch you up real quick. I believe in prayer ministry. I believe that not everybody is going to be on the ministry team at their church. And I know there's many different churches represented here, but we are all prayer ministers. I see this really in Scripture when Jesus was called to come pray for Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Jesus says, "Roll away the stone." He calls Lazarus. Lazarus comes out. And then he says something like this to all the people standing around: "Unwrap his grave clothes," and they fell off. If Jesus can call somebody out of the grave who's been dead for 4 days, don't you think he could have said, "Grave clothes, fall off"? But he chose people around him to actually do ministry. Jesus brings his disciples alongside of him, shows them what he's doing. He sends them out. They come back. Jesus, you know, the demons are subject to us in your name. He shows us what it's like to carry on without him, because he's going to the Father. And he says, it's to your advantage that I go away, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. If I don't go away, I can't do that. So we're all called into prayer ministry. You may not be on a ministry team at your church, but you're a minister out there in the world. I only see three places in the Bible where Jesus ministered in the church, in the temple. Everything else is out in the world. That's where it is. We keep trying to get people to come in. And yes, that's good. But the reality is we need to be going to them. We need to be showing them the love of God, the power and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. And when you introduce Jesus the healer, it becomes easier to introduce Jesus, the Savior. So we're all called in that. So that's what we're doing, a healing workshop. We're stepping into a greater understanding of God's healing power, For those of you who were not here, I got touched by God in 92. At 47 years old, I was a very successful businessman. I went to church, but I had no relationship with Jesus, bound up in ugly sexual sin. I'd never heard about the Holy Spirit, never heard about the demonic. My church preached grace, 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 Jesus and the Father. But they never talked about the Holy Spirit or about the enemy. And so I had a revelation when God touched me that night, and the very first person I prayed for got healed. And so it just got me excited. So we talked about some of that last night. We talked about a prayer model that is widely used around the world, and then we actually did it. So I just want to talk some more this morning. Is everybody okay? Is everybody caught up now? Those of you who weren't here, you feel like you're ready to go now, right? Okay. I just want to talk to you about some things that I've learned and you know, I think it's 26 years or something like that I've been in ministry now, because I left the real estate business. I just do ministry. God called me into ministry. I never wanted that. My wife was an ordained pastor, but I never wanted to be a part of that, and certainly had no thoughts about that. But this is the greatest thing I've ever done. It's just like amazing that I get to see God's love and miracles poured out around the world. And I've had the privilege of ministering in 30 different countries so far, many of them multiple times. I take teams with me to Brazil. I'm going to be taking I'm taking four trips this year. One trip is already filled up, ready to go in June. But you could go in September, October, or November to Brazil. Brazil is incredible. And I guarantee it, you will see miracles. Guarantee you. So I've been traveling for quite a while, and I've learned a few things along the way. I'm still learning. I've still got lots of questions. I certainly don't know it all. I keep looking for the formula. Hadn't found it yet. I'm not going to stop. There's got to be a formula. Okay, so I told you I was going to do the pictures a little bit later, but I actually changed my mind. So if you'd show that first picture, these are a couple of things that I learned along the way. One is about holding on to your healing. This is Gary from Casper, Wyoming. Gary had he worked in the oil fields. He had an accident, had a break in his spine, and didn't want to do surgery. But in pain, had to, you know, stop working, going to the doctors, et cetera. You know, they said just rest and everything. He can't get up. He can't dress himself. He can't get out of bed. And he's popping pain pills like they're candy. So finally, he has surgery. In the surgery, they fused the vertebra where the break was. They put a cage around the spine, poured cement to stabilize it, fused the vertebras above and below, and then clamped two large iron pieces, metal pieces, around the spine to protect it. How do you move? I just can't even imagine. Well, he didn't. He still is no better. He can't get out of bed. He can't tie his shoes. He can't dress himself. He can't play with his kids. He can't work. And he's popping pain pills still, like candy. So he comes to the meeting. They get into the meeting. And we had about 400 people in the meeting. We did a bunch of categories for healing. And the last thing we did was, if you have metal in your body or some sort of plastic that's been put in there to stabilize an injury, and you have pain or lack of mobility, stand up. So about 20, 25 people stood up. And so I directed a few people around each person to pray how to do that. We kind of did that last night. And at one point I said, try to do something you couldn't do. And all of a sudden he starts running. Now, I don't know his story at all at this point, but he starts running around the church. And the second lap, I stopped him and got his story. He literally said, well, I can't walk, so I'll try to run. He said, I felt fire and heat up and down my spine. So he literally was healed that night. And then I took his testimony the next day. This was Friday night. He got healed on Thursday night. I took his testimony, and he said, when I went home, that little voice, anybody recognize, you know, what I'm talking about? That little voice, oh, you didn't get healed. That was all emotional. And he said the pain started to come back. But he said, no, I got healed. He said it felt like he was catapulted to feeling better than when he had, before he ever got hurt. He stood on a scripture which he sort of knew but didn't know. It's James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Too many times I think we in the healing ministry don't do a good enough job of telling people, yes, you're healed, now fight and contend for that healing. Because the enemy would come and would love to come and take that back from you, snatch that from you. Because then it starts to destroy your faith. It's discouraging, needless to say, and the pain comes back. So I want to encourage you, when you get healed, I don't care if it's 1% to 100%, be thankful for what God has done and rejoice in that. And if the pain comes back, fight it. Don't just let it overtake you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Let me go to the next one, if you would. This is Leisha in Australia. I met her 7 years ago. She's 21 years old. We had gone to Australia, an area outside of Adelaide, and we were going to do a healing, weekend with them, and then going to teach some during the week, and then my wife was going to teach inner healing, Sozo ministry, on the next weekend. So we were there for 10 days plus, almost like that. Well, I met this young girl named Leisha, and I can remember she was sitting on the aisle like this. And every time I would get near her, she would shake violently and fall to the floor. And so 1 Timothy talks about, do not neglect the gift that was given through prophecy and the laying on of hands. So I would lay hands on her. I just felt like I saw a healing anointing, and I'm not sure what that was. I just know it when I see it. I saw it on you last night. I saw it on Jasmine, and I actually see it on several others of you. And I don't know. I can't describe that what I see. I just know it when I see it. And so I saw that on her, and I prophesied over her. I laid hands on her. She shook, and she told me during the weekend. She said, "I've prayed. I believe in prayer. I believe in healing. And I've prayed, and I've prayed, and I've prayed, and nobody's gotten healed." And I've gotten discouraged. Well, I understand that. If you don't see results, you can get discouraged because the enemy is really fighting you. In the early days of the Vineyard, which is the church that literally birthed signs and wonders in the modern time, if you will, that they really brought back the power healing to the church. And the outpouring in Toronto, that church was originally a Vineyard church. They prayed. They went after healing for 10 months before it ever broke out. There's an evangelist in America named Todd White. He was powerfully touched in a meeting with Randy Clark. But he has said he's prayed for 700 people before it started. Oh, how do you keep doing that? I don't know. I was fortunate. The very first person I prayed for, not even believing in healing, never having seen it, got healed. So it's just, the way God chooses to do it, it's kind of, it's just his ways, and he never does anything the same way twice. So Leisha said, I've just gotten really discouraged, and I do understand that, and I recognize that there's times when you just kind of back away. It hurts. When you pray for somebody, particularly somebody who is close to you, a relative, a friend, whatever, and they don't get healed, that hurts. So I understand it. I understand that reaction. I just don't think it's the right one. I think a better reaction is to step in. God, I don't have enough anointing. They didn't get healed. I need more. And you said more was available. So I just prayed over Leisha. I encouraged her like crazy. And I prayed for her, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, she just was a mess. But Monday, she kind of like took my challenge. There's a saying in the Vineyard, don't tell me healing doesn't work until you prayed for 100 people. Because if you pray for 100 people, somebody will get healed and you'll get hooked. That's certainly what happened with me. I just was fortunate, the very first person. Well, she went out trying to find somebody to pray for. It was a small community of about 5,000 people. And the only people she could find were a couple of grandmothers in wheelchairs on the sidewalk. Go ahead and show the next picture. She prayed over 4 people. One of them felt tingling and fire in her legs, got up out of the chair, and she took this picture as she was pushing the wheelchair down the street. Okay. I may need to teach you early about the power of the testimony and how important it is that we celebrate. Yeah. I went back to that church a year later, and I'm telling that story and showing these pictures, and halfway through, a woman stands up and says, "That's my mother." And she's never been back in the wheelchair. You see, there can be... Okay, that's better. We're getting there. How long do I have this morning? Oh, yeah, it's already 12:15, 12:30 even. Okay. Yeah, I'll hit that later this afternoon. There can be impartation. So, I want you not just kind of blindly here. I want you to really consider this. There is a cost to the anointing. And I'm going to pray for anybody who wants that anointing. But I have to tell you, there is a cost. If you get a healing anointing and you're on the ministry team at your church, or you start to get known, whether you're on the ministry team or not, you get known. So-and-so is carrying a healing anointing. We need to call them. And those calls start coming in at 1 and 2 in the morning. You know, my brother's just got admitted into the hospital. It looks really serious. Would you come? And so there's a call. There's a cost in that. The enemy doesn't like it. There's a cost to the anointing. So I don't want you to just blindly stand up and say, well, I want this. I don't want to put a guilt trip on you. I happen to be in the healing ministry. I think all of us are called to the healing ministry to be out there. I think all of us are called to prophesy. Yes, we will be stronger in one particular gift or another, but the gifts are all open to us. And at any time when there is a need in front of us, we can operate in that gift. So if your gift is worship, if it's feeding the poor, homeless, if it's prophecy, that's wonderful. But it's like when there's a need in front of you, your gift allows you to step into a healing anointing. Okay. So if you are interested in getting a greater anointing for healing, I'm going to encourage you to stand up. I want you just to open up your hands. It's nothing magic about this, but it seems to be something like, you know, here I am, Lord. I come to you like a little child. Something in the Bible about that, I think. So, I'm going to ask you not to pray during this prayer. Just receive. Just let his presence come on you. And before I pray, if you need to do any business with God, now would be a good time. If there's something that you've been struggling with, lack of faith, some sin in your life, maybe you have a physical need, an emotional need, just deal with that right now. Just come and ask the Lord, what do I need from you right now? What has been holding me back? Holy Spirit, come in this room right now and release your fire. Release your power, a fresh anointing. Let the fire of love burn in their hearts, in their bodies. Holy Spirit, come. You are welcome. Lord, show us any areas where we need to come to you in a greater abundance to receive the love of the Father. Where we have acted too much in performance, where we have not truly moved in the love of God. Holy Spirit, convict us right now and fill us with your love, that we give it away, that we walk in his love and give it away. Holy Spirit, come. Let the fire of God come from the top of their heads to the tips of their toes. More, Lord, more. You said there was more available to us. We bless what you're doing. Holy Spirit, come. More, Lord, more. More, more. Fill them, fill them, fill them, fill them with fresh fire. Fill them up, fill them up, fill them in the name of Jesus. That the name of Jesus would resonate through them. That the name of Jesus would be held in high esteem. More, Lord, more, more. We bless them, Lord. We bless each and every person in this room. More, Lord, more, more. Fill, 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 fill. You said we could be filled, so we spill. More, Lord. More, Lord. We bless what you're doing. We bless what you're doing. More, Lord. Increase. Increase the fire. Increase the fire. Increase the fire. Fresh anointing in a new way. Okay, you got it? More, Lord. More. 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 We bless what you're doing around this room in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Breathe. Okay, you may sit down, but I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you felt fire, tingling, electricity going through your body, or it's still going through your body? Yeah. That's an indication of a healing anointing. Some of you are still vibrating. That's really... Okay. And I love the fact that I only touched a couple of you, so that's really cool. Okay. How many of you, your heart was beating more rapidly than normal, and maybe you were close to tears?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an indication of the compassion of Jesus. Now, let me finish this question before you respond. How many of you, you know, you love Jesus with all your heart and you want to be used in the healing ministry, and during that prayer, you didn't feel anything? My people. Yeah. Yeah, okay, that's a bunch of y'all. The staid English. Let me give you the good news. It's not about shaking, flipping, falling, flopping on the floor, laughing, crying. It's not about that. Those are all good things, and sometimes that really indicates the presence of God. That's what was going on with Leisha. It's not about if you stand there like an oak of righteousness. It's about what is God doing with your heart? Are you more in love with Him? And are you more willing to do what He says to do? I had a dramatic, violent encounter with God when He first touched me in 92. I've had some of those events happen a few years after that. And then it kind of let up. And I've learned how to stand in the anointing. The reality is when... In Acts chapter 2, we read about the fire of the Holy Spirit falling in the upper room, and the people come out, and the others around watching them think they're drunk. They thought they were drunk, not because they were speaking in tongues, but because they were acting drunk. But Peter stood in the anointing and preached the gospel, and 3,000 people came to the Lord. God needs all of us. We all have gifts and talents that we bring to the table. We're all pieces of the pie. Some of us will shake and bake. Some of us will stand. Some of us will stand like an oak of righteousness. And that's not the determining factor. It's what is God doing with your heart? So if you waited for me to pray for you, but you know that I felt something, we'd be here all day. My hand doesn't get hot. It doesn't shake very much. When the Holy Spirit comes upon me, which happened just then, I'm not making that. I'm not doing that. That's the indication that He is on me. That's how I know. But that's, I mean, it used to be really violent. Now it's just really gentle. But that's when I know He's here. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, the manifestation will run between two extremes. On the one extreme is the young woman down in Cali, Colombia, Medellin, Colombia. I was traveling with Randy Clark, and we went to the church. It was about a 7,000-member church, and the pastor wanted us to pray for the leadership prior to the meeting started. And we were in a hotel ballroom, and Randy had prayed for everybody, and then I came into the room, and I'm asking the Lord, do you want me to pray for anybody? There was a young woman on the floor, and I felt like the Lord directed me there, so I went and I began to pray in Spanish, come Holy Spirit. And I got the word come out, and that was it. And she just, oh, it's hot, oh, it hurts, ow. And she gets up. She told us later it felt like hot wax had been poured on her hands. And she started running around the ballroom. Oh, it hurts, ow, it's hot. And she gets to the table where the water pitchers are. And she literally takes two of them and dumps them on herself. Now, that looks strange. So I watched her for the next 6 days we were in that church. And then I talked to her pastors at the end. And I said, you know, you remember when that happened? Oh, yeah, we remember that. Yeah, we thought that was weird, too. So we've been watching her. She's one of the leaders of the church. He said, we've never seen her prophesy more accurately. We've never seen more people healed when she laid hands on people for healing. And we've never seen more of the love of God. Something happened to her in that moment, but that was one extreme of the presence of the Holy Spirit on her. The other extreme happened in Toronto in 99, Catch the Fire. I was traveling with Randy Clark then. And there were nine people from Germany who had come over to the conference. We had about, I don't know, 5,000 or something like that. It was amazing. And these gals, because I was traveling with Randy Clark, and probably because they couldn't get to Randy Clark, they figured, well, maybe he's got something. And so they wanted me to pray for them, so I prayed. You know, I go down the line, all eight go down. I get to Dagmar. Now, usually when you pray for somebody, I mean, there's something. A little fluttering of the eyelids. Maybe they get flesh in their face. Maybe they shake a little bit. Maybe they wobble. Maybe they fall. Usually there's something. I mean, there was nothing. It's like, it was like praying for this podium. There was nothing. So after a while, I said, you know, why don't you just lie down, and I'm going to get a couple of the professionals, you know, the prayer team that she trained for 6+ years, they do this 6 days a week. They're the professionals. So I'll get a couple of them. So they prayed for her, and I went off for about 5 minutes, came back, and so I said, did you feel anything? No. The love of the Father. No. The peace of God. No. I'm like, ugh. And then the Lord whispers to me, she's a carrier of my glory. So I said, get up. I want to show you something. So there's a woman lying on the floor right there and coming up, you know. And I said, could I have her pray for you under my supervision? Sure. So she assumes the position. I tell Dagmar, that was her name from Germany, just put your hand on hers and say, come Holy Spirit, which is kommen Heiliger Geist. She gets kommen, and down she goes. And Dagmar's eyes get wide open. And there's another lady there, so I have her pray. Same thing happens. I said, see, you're a carrier of his glory. Well, I left to go home because it's now about, I don't know, 12, 1 o'clock, whatever. And their friend comes up, and she's got a physical ailment. And they say, oh, you got to get this young girl to pray for you. She prays, and the woman gets healed. She met me at the door the next morning as I came in, just beaming. She said, you know, my friends told me when we were flying over here from Germany, I don't know why you're going to this conference. God can't use you. You don't feel anything. She said, but now I know I'm a carrier of his glory. I'm going to go back to Germany, and I'm going to lay hands on everything that moves. It's not about what you're feeling. It's about the word of God that says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, that there is the presence and the power of God. So you just get out and do it. It's not about what you feel. And it can feel from, you know, between two extremes, from just getting absolutely zapped like you've grabbed a hold of an electric wire to standing in the anointing. We tell people when we train in ministry that there comes a point when you really need to learn how to stand in the anointing. If you're one of these that are extreme shakers and bakers, we have a term in the, we do fried chicken, and it used to be put it in a bag and all the crumbs and stuff and shake and bake. All right. That's where that comes from. Yeah. If I have to be over here and listen to your terms that I don't understand, then you can listen to some of mine. So it's not about that. So the extremes will be pretty wide and varied. You just do it, okay? So there can be impartation. We've just prayed for that. Show the next picture, if you would. Yeah, that one right there. Okay. I met this lady at a meeting that I did with a couple of other friends of mine, and she told me, she was kind of sitting over here to the side like this, and there was a group maybe half this size. And so she said, I cannot move my arm. Well, I've prayed for a lot of arm problems because I had one in 2013. So I have a real compassion for that. So I just had great faith. She's going to get healed. This is going to be cool. So I went and touched her hand, and she literally said, "I cannot move my arm. So this is it. This is it. So I prayed for her, and I fully expected her to be healed. But when we tested, when we found out, when we said, "Now what can you do?" What she could do was this. There's not a lot of improvement. But when we prayed Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, this is Sunday morning. I think too often, too many people would have quit on Friday night because they didn't see the healing that they wanted. I don't always see the healing that I want. But it's many times the healing can be progressive. So we keep getting healing. We encourage the person to keep getting prayer. That's why we always encourage them to keep seeking prayer. The Father loves you. What we don't say is, "Well, you just don't have enough faith. And when you get enough faith, you'll get healed." Don't tell them that. Or "Well, you must have sin in your life." It's true that lack of faith and sin in their life can block healing, but you haven't helped them. You've put condemnation on them. What you want to do is encourage them. The Father loves you. Keep getting prayer. I might pray for somebody and nothing happens. Valerie might pray for somebody, and that's when the power goes. We all have a piece of the puzzle. There's things that she knows that she gets discernment that maybe I wouldn't get, and vice versa. And same thing for each and every one of you. So with that situation, we didn't stop on Friday night. We kept praying. Many times, healing is progressive. Now, when I do this teaching, I often stop right here because I like this to be interactive. I mean, this is a workshop. So, if you have any kind of a problem with your arm, your forearm, your wrist, your elbow, your fingers, any kind of pain or problem or lack of mobility or whatever, right or left, if you would just stand up. And if it's in the shoulder, upper shoulder, because I really want to go for like rotator cuff, ligaments, tendons, etc. But if it's up in the shoulder and that's what's affecting you, you can stand up. You can get in on this one. Okay. If it's the neck, a lot of times the neck can affect because the nerve. That's what I found out when I had my problem. It's literally starting in the brain area in the head and going down through the neck. Things can be pinched. If it's a neck problem and you feel like it's connected, you can stand up. Okay, no neck problem. That's good. Okay. Not only do you not have a neck problem, but you're not a pain in the neck. Okay. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your hand where it hurts the most. You might have a lot of pains and you don't have enough hands. But put your hand, like I see several people putting their hands on their fingers, like here and there, and you've got it up here in your shoulders. That's good. Okay. If it was the wrist or whatever. Okay. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to relax. Now, we just prayed for impartation. If you are in front of, in back of, or on the side of someone, just reach up and put your hand gently on their hand. I'd like each and every person to be at least touched. You might have to get up a little bit. That's okay. Yeah. And if you're going to be the prayer, I want you to keep your eyes open. And I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit to come. You're releasing the power and the presence of God that dwells inside of you. And I'm going to pray over you. Holy Spirit, come. I speak to the elbow to come into order. To the muscles, ligaments, and tendons of the shoulder, the rotator cuff. I command the arm that is kind of bound up to loosen. If there's cartilage damage, I command everything to be made whole once again. fingers begin to move and fluctuate like they are intended. Lord, I stand on the power of the testimony of that woman just last year who, when she would close her fingers for 20 years, when she opened her fingers again, one finger would not go back up. She had to manually bring it back up. And she got totally healed. We have video of her flexing her fingers. And then she prayed for somebody who had the exact same condition, and that person got healed. So more, Lord. Rotator cuff, come into order. Muscles, ligaments, and tendons, come into order. More, Lord. Let the fire of God fall through these people and let the anointing be on those who are praying. Pains in the neck where there's been tension and stress. In the name of Jesus, I break any spirit of trauma now. Holy Spirit, come. We bless what you are doing in the name of Jesus. Wrist, where there's been problems with the carpal tunnel thing. Elbows, forearms. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Okay, let me have your attention. Let me have your attention. All those who just prayed, if you would sit down so that only the people who got prayed for are still standing. Okay? I want you to check your body. Try to move. Do something that you couldn't do. I don't want you to hurt yourself, but I want you to put your faith in action and actually try to move your body. The reason we ask that is because there are times when you don't feel anything, but that's when the healing happens. And if you can say, during that prayer, you received a measure of healing. I don't care if it's 1%. I want to celebrate everything that Jesus does. 1% to 100%. If you received any measure of healing right then, wave at me. Just wave at me. Okay? Got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. Okay. Let me try to remember everybody who raised their hand. Real loud, sir. Tell me what happened real quick. Yeah.
Which is associated with a spinal condition.
Right.
So I really need a touch
there. Right.
But it's greatly relieved.
Greatly relieved. I'll bless that. Thank you, Lord. I think you... Were you... Yeah. Were you waving that something happened? No. Okay, the gentleman in red, I know.
Oh. Yeah. A carpal tunnel surgery 2-3 years ago. It's fine. Over the last 6 months or so, I've had like trigger finger, four fingers, and some soreness, pain, slight pain.
And now?
This finger's much better. I can still, it's difficult to raise it.
Okay.
Kiss there and then flips. But there used to be a soreness and a pain at the base of the fingers,
yeah.
And that's gone.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The lady right here next to you.
Yes, I've got neck, shoulder, and elbow damage due to rheumatoid arthritis.
Uh-huh.
I can now move my neck. Thank
you.
Oh,
wow.
I can move it to that extent.
Thank you, Lord.
Same with my shoulder. I couldn't have got it behind
me. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Wow. This gentleman right here, you raised your hand, I think, yes. That something has happened.
I can stand.
You can stand. Okay, I don't think that has anything to do with the arms and stuff, so it's collateral blessing. Yes. And are the fingers any better or getting better a little bit?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. But you're standing.
Yes.
Come on. Anybody over here? I don't remember who raised their hand, so... Yes, sir.
I've got sort of a trigger finger. Sometimes it will just stay like
yes.
That.
Yes.
And I had to break it and get it back up.
Look at that. Come on. Come on. Come on. That was exactly the story that I told. This gal was 20 years. I've got a video of her. In fact, I thought I was going to show it. But literally, she could, when she would close her fingers, she could do that. Like you're talking about, but when she opened them up, and I can barely do it, the finger wouldn't go, and she had to manually bring it back up. And I've got a video of her doing this, just like what you did, and then she went and prayed for somebody with the exact same condition. See, many times when there's a dramatic healing, there is an anointing for healing. Oh, that's exciting. That's cool. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Look at that. Now, when I broke off the spirit of trauma, there was quite a bit of reactions in the room. Yeah. Did anybody feel like something happened during that particular event? Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, wow. And so are you better?
I don't know yet.
You don't know yet? Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, you may sit down. Let me just finish that thought. I did that in a meeting years ago, and the woman said she had been physically and sexually attacked 20 years before and was so traumatized, as you might imagine, that she had not been able to turn her neck for 20 years. And when I did that, she was able to just... all around. It's that spirit of trauma. So a lot of times, here again, this is one of these things we kind of learned along the way. There's something about trauma being stored in the base of the neck. This is not spiritual woo-woo. This is scientific fact that a lot of times our stress, tension, and trauma issues can be stored in the base of the neck. And so a lot of times in prayer ministry, if you'll lay hands on the right in this area and make a loud clapping sound or a snapping sound and break that spirit of trauma, that's where you'll see the breakthrough. Okay. Sometimes healing doesn't manifest immediately, but you never see the person again. Would you show that next picture? Okay. This is down in the place where I'm actually going in a month, a little bit less than a month, in Brasilia. So this is 2 years ago, and this lady comes up. This is the hospitality room after the meeting. So that we do feed you. So if you go on a trip with me to Brazil, and there's no reason why you wouldn't, we do get fed after the meeting, and sometimes it's really, really good. Sometimes so. But this woman comes up. She doesn't even belong to this church, and somehow she got up to the hospitality room, and she's telling me this story. That I had been there 2 years before. You can't see her husband. He's off to the side there. She said, you prayed for my husband, and he had trouble standing, walking, everything. Pain in his feet, just terrible. And he couldn't stand for longer than about 5 minutes. It makes me wonder how is it that he worked. But she said he was just in a mess. And you prayed for him, and he's been totally okay ever since. Then you prayed for me because of my eyesight. I wore glasses. If you can look really close to the picture, she's not wearing glasses. Yeah. And then she said, the doctors had told us, we had actually just been through a series of exams, and we came to that meeting, 2 years before, and the doctors had told us it is physically impossible for you and your husband to have a child. And then she said, and you prophesied that we would have two children. And we just came back from the doctor, and she's pregnant. Here's the point. I prayed for them several years ago, and I didn't know what happened. That's why it really is nice to get the testimony. Because it would have been encouraging. I didn't know this. I've had this happen over and over and over. And my team members, same thing. I would not have known this had I not gone back and had she not fought to get to me. I am firmly convinced you will pray for people, you'll prophesy over people, and when you meet them in heaven, they'll tell you the story of what happened. But you won't know it until heaven, because they never came back, or you never went back. I went back to Fiji. I'd been gone for 4 years. I went back to Fiji, and a woman comes and says, "You had a word of knowledge for me, a fuzzy, blurred vision because of a brain tumor." That's exactly what I had. And you prayed for me, and nothing happened. And then you left. You and your team left. And I went to the doctor the next week because I was going to have surgery. They wanted to check me one more time. My eyesight was completely okay, and they couldn't find a tumor. If I had not gone back and had she not found me, I wouldn't know that. So I just believe every time I pray for somebody, they get healed. I just don't know it. It really kind of makes it easy when you start to look at it like that. If you would show the next picture, please. This is a woman in a small village in Germany. I had taken a team there, and we were teaching in a number of churches. She was able to speak English, so she was a really good translator. She kind of took us around the village. Then we did the meeting at night. And so we did categories, kind of like, you know, I've done here already. And so, you know, headaches, neck pain, shoulders, stomach pain, knees, ankles. She stood for every single category. And as I've already demonstrated, we kind of say, well, you know, if you've received any healing from 1% to 100, anything, raise your hand. She never raised her hand once. So afterwards, we go into prayer ministry. I've got a team, 8 people, something like that. And we minister for about 30 minutes or so. She's translating for one of my team members. And so afterwards, I finish. And so I'm just kind of standing up here by the podium. You know, I'm kind of watching what's going on. Everybody's kind of scattered out. And most people have gone home. And so I'm watching her translate for one of my team members. And all of a sudden, she goes... I said, what are you doing? She said, well, you know, I stood for almost every category. Yeah, I know. And I didn't get healed. I didn't get any healing. Yeah, I know. And that hurt. I didn't like that. Yeah, I mean, something wants to happen. She said, but I've been thankful for everybody else around me who's been getting healed. Thankfulness leads to increase. So no matter what happens to you today or tomorrow or the meetings that you'll go to over the next month or so, can we not just be encouraged and happy for those who do get healed? And if you get a measure of healing, thank you, Lord. That's in prayer ministry. That's one of the things we really teach. When you check in and you find out, you know, how are you doing? Well, you know, it's hot. Okay, that's good. Thank you, Lord. That's an indication he's there. Well, you know, it's about 10% better. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. More. You said we could have more. It's about 50% better. Thank you, Lord. You just keep thanking him and you keep praising him. And no matter what happens to you, thankfulness leads to increase. So if it's someone else, thank you, Lord, that you're moving in our midst. Amen? Amen. All right. This is kind of fun. All right. Show the next picture, if you would. All right. This is a meeting that I did down in Colombia. And our coordinator had told us, and he tends to speak evangelistically. So when he tells me there's going to be 1,000 people in the meeting, I know there'll probably be 100 to 200. So he's telling me we're going to do 3 nights out on a dirt soccer field, and there'll be 4,000 people every night. Okay, well, that means 1,000. That's okay. You know, that'd be cool. Well, and he was wrong. It was about 4,500 every night. And it was televised. It went all over the city. It was a small city. It went all over the city. So this is me on the second night. I'm on a platform. I've spoken the word, and I've called my prayer ministry team up. Now, I want you to note, you see an aisle there right to the left of those white chairs right there? These white chairs up here? Okay, so there's an aisle right there, because I want you to focus on the fact that I'm going to show you some pictures taken from the exact same angle. So The people have come forward. I've got about, I don't know, 8 or 10 prayer ministers. Like I said, you get to pray for more people in a week than most people pray for in a lifetime. And we just had all kinds of things happening. So the next night, the final night, if you'd show the next picture, this is what it looks like when I've taken the platform before I've spoken my message. So it's a dirt soccer field, and you can actually sort of see where the break is there, just like, because I've taken it from the same angle. Okay, I've got intercessors praying for this meeting. I've got intercessors when I go out on the road. I have people praying for me. So I've got this one woman in Iowa. She knows what we do. She's been on some trips with me. She knows I'm down at a certain town in Columbia, but she doesn't know the specifics about the meeting. I didn't know we were going to do outdoor meetings on a soccer field. But she's praying, you know, to some degree. And she said, I woke up that morning, and I had this song running through my mind. I don't know if you would know it, but it's Calling All Angels, Calling the Watchman Angels on the Wall. It's out of the Bethel Music Church, and Brian Johnson had written the song. And it's just running through her mind all day long. She's singing that song, and she knows that it has something to do with what we're doing, because that's what she's really praying about. And so as I finish my message and call the prayer ministry team up, I take a picture from the exact same angle that I've been showing you already. If you would show that picture. Now, a lot of times when the angelic shows up, they're little orbs. We must have needed a lot of help, because it's one big giant group of angels. And actually, when you look really closely at it, you know, in a picture like on the iPhone or the iPad, you can actually see like a wheel inside. And if you look really hard, you'll see the angle is exactly the same. You can see the white chairs back there where the aisle is. So much happened. It was absolutely amazing. Here's the point. Partnering with angels. I mean, there's so much angelic activity talked about in the Bible. There's more angelic activity talked about in the New Testament than the Old Testament. But the angelic is all over. Now, here's my personal view. I know there's some teaching that we can command angels what to do and tell them what to do, etc. Personally, okay, so just take that for what it's worth. I don't command an angel to do anything. When John, in the Revelation, at Revelation 19:10, he falls at the feet of the angel and begins to worship him, and the angel says, "Do not do that. I am a fellow servant with you." I prefer to say, Lord, send your angels. Lord, send angels into this meeting to clear the air. Lord, send your angel to help in the healing of this person, etc. I don't personally command angels to do something. And I know that there is teaching that says we can do that. So you just, you know, ask the Lord about that. You take that for what it is. But personally, I don't do that. But I do call upon the angels to come and help. And they are... you know, they are ministering servants unto us. So my friend Gary Oates, I do a lot of ministry with Gary. He had an occurrence in 2002 where he was taken into heaven and met Jesus. Jesus held his hands. He came back. He crashed when his spirit came into his body. He went flying about 3 or 4 rows back. They thought he was dead. Didn't even feel anything. So the myth says you can't get hurt if it's God. But many times when God comes and touches you, you don't get hurt at all. And so the enemy didn't get in there. But he got an impartation in that he can now physically see the angels and the demons. And I think it's only right to be able to see the demons. If you are asking to see angels, how many of us want to do that? Yeah, I believe you also need to be saying, and I'm willing to see the demons so that I'll know what to do about them. I'll know how to pray about it. Many times as children, we see spiritual entities, angels and demons, and there's not enough explanation about it. And so when the child says, I'm afraid, and the parents say, oh, that's just you. Don't worry about it. There's nothing there. There's no boogeyman under your bed. There's, you know, I don't know if y'all do that. That's what we tell them. Just boogeyman, does that translate? Okay, yeah. We don't know how to deal with it. And so we shut that gifting down. A lot of times when we get people who start to see the angelic and are willing to see the demonic, then the whole gifting opens up. So Gary had an experience and now teaches quite often on it. And he tells the story about being down in one of the Latin American countries. And a man comes to him, you know, here again, he was on a prayer team before he was actually leading meetings himself. And he's on the prayer team, and so a man comes up and says, I've got cancer in the brain. I've got a tumor. And so Gary says, okay, let's pray. So as he begins to pray, he sees this little angel come up, and he's got a horn. But instead of playing it like we saw, the angel's blowing in the horn, and there's fire coming out. And he's got it pointed at a particular area of his head. So Gary says, where's your brain tumor? Oh, well, it's right there. What are you feeling right now? Oh, it's on fire. It hurts it almost. It's so hot. And so he continues to pray. The angel continues to blow, and then the angel finishes. The man goes back to the doctors the next day and comes back to the meeting the next day with x-rays. Cancer? No cancer. I think we need to learn how to partner with angels. So my admonition to you is we all have angels. I mean, it's very clear in Psalm 91. There's other scriptures about that. Personally, I don't order them what to do. I do ask the Lord to send them, help me, protect me, etc., etc. Okay, if you would show the next picture. Okay, I want to talk about prophetic acts when you're praying. All right. The man on the left, interviewing somebody who's giving their testimony, he's a pastor in Brazil. This happened about 2 years ago. You'll notice that he's different on the left than he is on the right. Do you notice what's different? I'm sorry? Spectacles, glasses, glosses. Yeah, yeah. This is 6 months later. He comes to a meeting we're doing in a nearby town because he was so excited about what had happened in his church. And at one point, I don't know any of this. He was wearing glasses and now he's not, but I don't know. And so he gets up and he starts speaking in Portuguese. So I have no clue what he's talking about. So I talk to my coordinator, Marcelo, what is he doing? Oh, he's giving a testimony. Oh, what's he saying? He's saying that when you and your team were there in his church 6 months before, he had worn glasses every day, all the time, for 40 years. And when you did that exercise where you prayed for eyes, he got healed, and he's never worn glasses since. Yeah. Now, here's why I tell you this story. It's not even just that we are able to pray for eyes, but the way we do it. We kind of make a joke, you know, we're going to come by and we're going to spit in your eyes like Jesus did. And everybody laughs like that. And I literally have seen some guys who obviously were dragged there by their wives, and they suddenly punched their wives and they're like, he's not serious, is he? No, but what we ask is a prophetic act. Take off your glasses, lick your fingers, and put them on your eyelids. Now, as I have told you, me being a left-brain analytical guy, that drives me crazy. That doesn't make any sense at all. Some of you left-brain people who are so feeling and just, you know, you're kind of weird, you know who you are. You're thinking, oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. But for us left-brain people, come on, that just sounds funny. But I just keep having story after story after story. The woman in Germany, she's the pastor's wife. We didn't know it, but she had worn glasses, you know, all the time for 19 years. And if she didn't wear them for longer than about 15 or 20 minutes, she'd get severe headaches. And as we are leaving 3 days later, I don't know she's gotten healed. We're about to leave to fly back home, and she didn't have glasses on. She starts to tell us that testimony. Thank God she told me. I mean, it would have been nice to have known while we were there. still during the meetings and stuff. She had done that exercise, and I've been back to that church 5 times, and I see her in California quite often. Totally healed, never worn glasses since. That has happened over and over and over. So, God loves to heal eyes, floaters. Is that what y'all call them? Okay, floaters. Optic nerves, eyesight problems, blindness. I've seen blindness healed doing this exercise. So, if you have any kind of eyesight problem and you'd like me to pray over you, just stand up. And I am going to ask you, as a prophetic act, as silly as it sounds, to take off your glasses. I want to encourage you. Lick your fingers, put them on your eyelids. It's not magic, it's just a prophetic act. Are you asking me a question?
Yes.
Yes.
You know,
that's a little hard to take off, so we're just going to believe God can bypass that. I mean, nothing's too big for him, right? I mean, he can take care of it. All right. So I want you to just relax and don't pray right now. Holy Spirit, come all over this room. More, Lord. Lord, I have seen you back this up so many times. Every time I do this, it scares me, but you want us to see, not only in the spirit, but you want us to see physically. Your will is to heal. I speak to the optic nerves, to the cornea, the pupil, and all the electrical impulses that go into making the eyes see, blurred vision, cataracts go. Floaters in the eye, go. I stand on the power of the testimony of that meeting I did earlier this year where 3 women literally had floaters for years and they all left. That gentleman who was a concert violinist for 15 years, he had suffered with floaters in his eyes that kept getting worse and he was having trouble seeing the notes on the page and he was totally healed. The young man named Alex, who had lost sight in his left eye in a bar fight 5 years before our meeting, and his eye opened, and a year later I was able to confirm it once again that he was totally healed. Lord, what you did then, the stories that I just told, do it again. Do it again. Holy Spirit, come, for we bless what you're doing. Eyes, see. Not only in the spirit, but now physically. I bless the eyes to see. I bless the eyes in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, let me have your attention. Open your eyes and let them get used to the light and the glare. If you could not see up close, get out your iPhone or even your Bible, but get out your iPhone and try to read something. If you couldn't see far away, try to focus on something. The gentleman in the meeting the other night said, he was in the back of the room, he said, I couldn't see your face clearly, but now I can. I've had people tell me they've been able to read signs from across the room, or for example, like that clock, if they were on this side of the room. I've had people literally be prayed for like this and get a CD with the liner notes, and what they said is, oh my gosh, there's space between the words. The eyesight was that bad. Having said all this, if you can say during that prayer there was any improvement in your eyes, 1% to 100, any improvement in your eyes, would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Don't be afraid. This is now, yeah. Okay, back here and back here. Okay, let me ask you, tell me what happened.
When I blink my eyes, I have clicking sound.
When you blink your eyes, it's clicking.
Yeah.
And now? We call that healing. All right.
Yeah.
and the gentleman back here with the good-looking hairstyle. You raised your hand.
I've had poor sight for, well, since I was about 15, I've worn spectacles. But I have noticed this morning a definite improvement without my glasses on.
Yes.
It's not fully
right.
Clear. I mean, but I can see your face much more clearly than I could.
I am better looking than you thought, huh? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? What generally happens in this exercise is that as time goes on, if you don't step into doubt, oh, I didn't get healed, or nobody else got healed, you know, there is improvement. Yeah, you kind of raising your, yeah.
Yeah, just as I opened my eyes, just clearer, even the colors were more defined for me. And the face
or trees. Okay.
More color.
More color. All right. That's cool. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Keep pressing into that. Okay? You may be seated. Okay. Yeah, show the next picture because I want to go into another prophetic act. All right. This woman is she and her husband are pastors, a small church, small town in Wyoming. She's not been able to raise her arm for 3 years. The rotator cuff problems and stuff. I mean, it's kind of been locked up. And the way we did it is we pulled the flaming arrows, the flaming darts out, and she was released. Let me explain. In Ephesians 6, it talks about putting on the armor, and I think it's the breastplate of righteousness to quench the fiery darts. We thought that was just poetic language until we went to a family camp, and there was a pastor who took my wife Carol under his wing, thinking that he could teach her to see, that he could impart to her. He had been seeing people with arrows, flaming darts, etc., for years. Didn't know that it was really like a word of knowledge until he met Randy Clark and kind of went on some trips and explained it. But he could literally be walking down the mall to somebody that he doesn't know at all, and just walk up to him and said, have you got pain in your shoulder right here about the size of a, what is a coin here? A penny. Okay. Is that a big one?
No.
Tiny. Okay, well, even tiny. You've got a pain right there in your shoulder about the size of a penny. Yeah, how did you know? Well, I can see the flaming arrow. Let's just take it out. What did you do to me? All the pain's gone. He literally moved in that anointing, and he thought that he could teach my wife. We never really saw the arrows. I still don't. But we could perceive them. Now, the model when you're praying for people is not to have every person you pray for lick their fingers and put them on their eyelids. The model is not to pull out an arrow every time there's pain. But when there's an indication that there might be, you might want to consider this. So after we learned this, even though my wife never did see anything, and frankly I don't either, we went back to our church, and we were there on a Sunday morning, and the youth group kind of people came and got my wife and said, one of our friends has had stomach pain for 3 months, been to the doctors. The doctors can't explain any. There's nothing wrong, but yet there's pain there. And so Carol thought that there might be an arrow there. So let's just do that. And she sees this young girl standing over here, and she said, come help me. She said, we're going to pretend like there's a shaft of an arrow coming out, and I want you to put your hand on the shaft of the arrow, and when I tell you, pull it out. And so Carol prays, and then she says, and we pull out the arrow now. And the girl's frozen. She can't move. And so Carol puts her hand on her, and they pull it out. And the woman, the young girl, goes, ugh, there's no pain. So about 3 days later, we were teaching in the home group for the youth. And so the young girl who got frozen said to my wife, do you want to know why I didn't pull it out when you said pull it out? She said, yeah, I'd like to know. She said, because when I grabbed the shaft of the arrow, I felt it. She physically felt it. Didn't see it, but she felt it. We've seen this happen over and over and over. And that's what happened to this lady right here after 3 years. So here's what I want you to do. If you can locate, if you know that you're in pain right now, and you know specifically where it is, like, you know, there's an area, there's a pain, like, right there. You know, it's not radiating throughout the whole leg. There's pain, and it's right there. If that's you, you can recognize your pain. Would you just stand up? Yeah, now's the time. Now's the time. If you know exactly where the pain is, not that it's all over your body, but you know where it is, one more chance to stand up. There you go. All right? Okay. All right. Some of you, you're standing, you're seated around them. Some of you may need to move. I want one person to go to every person who's standing. I don't want you to do anything yet. I just want somebody to go to them, and you're going to be there for them. Okay, so get them covered real quick. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Yeah. Okay. Does everybody have somebody who's come to them? Does anybody not? If you don't have somebody who's come to you and said, I'm going to pray for you, raise your hand. I'll get you there. Okay. We got everybody covered? All right. 10 seconds. The person who's got the pain, show the person exactly where the pain is, like she's doing right there, so you know exactly where that pain is. Okay. Does everybody know where the pain is? You got it? All right. I want the person who's being prayed for, close your eyes, relax. Don't pray. The person who is praying, keep your eyes open. I want you to grasp the shaft. I want you to imagine that there's an arrow sticking out of that body part, so you would grab hold of the shaft so that you're able to pull it out when I say now. Does everybody understand? All right. Okay. Lord, I thank you for this gifting. I thank you, Lord, as unusual and as strange as this may sound, I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us. And I thank you, Lord, that you paid the price that we might be healed. I thank you, Lord, that you showed us that it's more than just poetic language, that it's real, that there are times when the enemy fires flaming darts, flaming arrows. And so because of what you did for us on the cross, I take the authority of Jesus Christ, I break off every demonic attack, and we pull out the flaming arrow now. Now, if there were an arrow sticking out of the body then, and that's now been pulled out, what you would be left with is a wound. So put your hand gently on that place and just begin to pray for the healing of that wound. It's kind of like cauterizing the wound. Simple prayer. Now, everybody who just got prayed for, let me have your attention. Yeah, look at me. Now move. Check your body. See if there's any difference. Some of you reacted pretty heavily. And if you can say, you know, it is better. Something just happened. Raise your hand at me. Raise your hand. Yeah. Okay, I knew you really reacted. And you. Okay, it's better.
Better.
Better. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And what happened with you?
When he pulled the arrows out, yeah, there's a lot of pain behind his knee. And a lot of sickness like that.
Yes. Yeah, and so it is better. Wow, wow. Anybody else? Yes, sir, tell me.
My knee is easier.
Easier?
Yeah, it's arthritis, but it's
yeah.
Easier.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tell me.
It's easier than that one. I wonder if I need to pull out the one from the outside.
Well, okay. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of every demonic attack. We command, by the power, because of what Jesus did, we pull out this flaming dart now. Okay. And pray to cauterize the wound. There you go. Now move your hip. So-so. I don't know. Keep getting prayer. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, you may sit down. So it's a prophetic act, okay? Like I said, the model is not, now you're going to pull out arrows every time you pray for somebody. But you ask the Lord, you know, is this something like, specifically if you've prayed and nothing really has happened and the pain is really localized, that's an indication it might be. Okay, I am going to be able to wrap this up. If you'd show the next picture, please. Healing in the marketplace. We were at an old folks home down in Brazil, and this is not the old folk. This is the son of the old folk. He's had rotator cuff surgery. He's had 60 physical therapy sessions, and the doctors gave up on him. They said, you will never move your arm again. There's nothing we can do. Well, somebody forgot to tell Jesus. And it was a 75-year-old woman who's been with me on 18 trips and is going on 3 more this year. Don't tell me you're too old. Don't tell me you're too young either. Healing in the marketplace. If you'd show the next picture. Okay. This woman comes to me in a meeting, and she said, I'm a dancer. I love to dance, you know, walk, run, et cetera, but I'm a dancer. And a year ago, I stepped off the curb, twisted my ankle, and I've been in pain ever since. I can't run, and I certainly can't dance. And so, okay, fine. So we sat down on the chairs, and I take off her shoe, and I pray for her. I like to have a point of contact. And after a minute or two, I check in. Yeah, nothing happening. There's no difference. So I kind of step back in the spirit. See, that's why short prayers are really important. Spend 20 minutes going down the road. I could have prayed 20 minutes for her, and nothing would have happened, in my opinion. But I stopped after a couple of minutes and said, is it any better? No, it's not. Okay, God, am I missing something? And I felt like the Spirit whispered to me, ask her what it was like when the accident happened. So I said, is there any chance that when you stepped off the curb and twisted your ankle, you said something like, oh, well, that was stupid. I should have been watching where I was going. I'm such a clumsy oaf. She said, that's exactly what I said. I said, so what you've been doing is putting guilt and condemnation on yourself. You've been holding that against you, and maybe it's time to let yourself off the hook to forgive yourself. So I led her in a prayer for forgiveness, that it was an accident, that you know, that's what it was. We went back, prayed for another minute, and she was dancing around the church and then stopped to show me her ankle was perfectly healed. That forgiveness thing. So, for example, I see this quite often, particularly down in Latin America and actually in many parts of the world, and America for sure, where there's an accident. And one of the questions needs, and somebody gets hurt. One of the questions is, whose fault was it? Oh, it was that jerk who stopped in front of me too quick and I didn't know it was going to happen. Okay, if they're calling him a jerk, then they've got some anger and unforgiveness. So it's things like that where you're constantly in tune with the Holy Spirit and thinking about some of these things that could lead to helping you in the healing process. I think there's one more. And if you would show that one. I think I told that story, but I'm not sure if it was here. Oh, actually, there's two of them. This is really important. This was also like a key. The power of the testimony that I'm going to talk about this afternoon was a key to our ministry. This was also a key. It's payback. Proverbs 6, 30 and 31, when the enemy is found out, he must repay 7 times over. The guy on the left is my team member, 69 years old at the time, in so much excruciating pain, popping pain pills, a doctor prescribed, but he says, I've got to go. If I don't go now, I'll never go on one of these trips. And so he went, and you know, he was in pain, and he didn't get healed during the week that we were down there. But the joy of what he got to see happen, because he served faithfully. And, of course, the man with the problem, who can barely stand, barely walk, and is in pain, he's the one who prayed for the man to come out of the wheelchair for the first time in 5 years. And I've got a video of this guy. You can see the smile on his face. I've got a video of him walking. He's just beaming. And talking about, you know, the power of the testimony, it would have been nice to have known from my coordinator that several years later he told me, oh yeah, that guy's in my church. That was 5 years ago. He's never been in the wheelchair since. That would have been nice to have known. So here's my point. Whatever is your problem, whatever is your infirmity, your illness, your sickness, your failure, your money, your marriage, all those things that condemn you, that put you in a box, turn that around and let that be a victory for God. As I said, I go after arms probably more than almost anything, because when I woke up on our Thanksgiving in 2013, I literally could not move my arm. And there was months before the doctors could tell me anything about it. And it was a lot of prayer and a lot of physical therapy. But I could not move my arm. But while I couldn't move my arm, I was going after that problem. I turned it around. So whatever your problem is, find people with a similar problem and go after that. You'll be amazed at how God will use you for that. And I have literally seen people go with me with a problem on a ministry team trip, or even be on my ministry team when we're doing meetings in the United States, and they get healed. So go after the enemy, bring payback. One more. Okay. God loves to heal the servant heart. So I was down in Medellin, Colombia, and we break off into ministry time, and I said, if you have a hearing loss, go over to that side of the room. He's the first guy who runs over there, and a bunch of other people, mostly women, run over there. So I said, look, I know you were first, but a lot of times the guys have upper body strength, so would you catch for me? Sure. So I pray for about seven women, varying degrees of healing. Some got completely healed, some got some partial healing, some didn't get any healing at all. Didn't get discouraged, didn't get all puffed up. It's not about me, right? It's God. This is yes. So I get ready to pray for the eighth woman, and he steps out. He says, I've been a worship leader for 10 years. I'm with all this noise, and my ears have rung 24/7 for 10 years. But you don't have to pray for me. While I was catching and serving, it all went away. God loves to heal the servant heart. That's why I love to pray for like the people who make us meals and the families that take care of us and the guy on the soundboard and the people who just serve, because God loves to heal the servant heart. So these are some of the things that I learned along the way, and I hopefully are passing it on to you, that you would move in a greater anointing. So I think I will dismiss now, but I want to do a prayer over you. You can just be right there in your chair, but just open up your hands. Just relax. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, I ask that you would continue to anoint these people in a greater way for healing. That you would use them powerfully. That they would take some of the tools that they're hearing about and begin to move in a new and different way. That you would release healing in this time, even at lunch. That maybe you would even give some boldness to us as maybe we're out in the marketplace and we see people that we might want to minister to. Holy Spirit, come. And Lord, I ask that even there would be somebody who would come back from lunch and say, you know, something happened during lunch and that pain is gone, or the eyesight is better, or my hearing is better, or whatever. Holy Spirit, come and release your fire and your power more, Lord. I bless this group. I bless the many churches that are represented in this meeting, that they would come in unity. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I bless this church, this pastor, and staff for how they have poured out to hold this meeting. Lord, we ask that you would bless our lunch today and bring us back expectant and ready. In the name of Jesus, amen.